Okay, great. Thank you. So today I want to talk about this topic, and the title is The Yoke of Christ. Does anybody know the phrase in German? Okay, das Joch. So does anybody know what that is, the Joch, what it's used for? Could you give me an answer? Yeah.
Beim Ackerbau, also das ist eine Gerätschaft, wo man zwei Ochsen einschaltet.
Yeah, okay, exactly. So, when you did this, I understood. Yeah, exactly. So this is the yoke of Christ, and the yoke that they use for farming. And this is what I want to talk about, and this is what Jesus wanted to tell the people. So we're going to read the main passage, which is in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I'll give you some time to get there. So it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen?
Amen.
Okay, does anybody see something a bit confusing or wrong about this verse?
The last line, "My burden is light."
Why is that weird to you?
It
contradicts, right? Yeah, also he said the yoke is usually used to do hard labor, right? And he's telling you, "I will give you rest with the hard labor." So I'm not very sure Jesus knows what he's talking about, but he does. Then he also says, like you said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But I've lived the Christian life for 8 years now, and the Christian life was not easy.
Yeah,
and it was not light. And I never felt like, oh, this will be an easy life. But why do you think that we feel, contradicting what he says, that the burden is not light and the yoke is not easy? Why do we as Christians often feel that?
Because we try to carry it by ourselves.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we get attached to things that Jesus taught us to give up and surrender.
Which is, in other words, what are these things?
Materialism or whatever has emotional value for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we tend to commit sin.
Confused.
What is what God wants of us and what does the world want of us.
Okay.
Manchmal denken wir, dass wir Gottes Wort verstanden haben.
Someone
also mir fällt die Stelle ein, dass Gottes Gedanken ganz anders sind als unsere Gedanken.
It is.
Sometimes we get to think that what God, that we get to misunderstand what God's what God wants from us.
Ja, und weil wir Menschen sind und eigentlich nicht leiden wollen, aber Jesus hat einen Leidensweg. Also, ja.
And because we're humans, we don't want to suffer, but Jesus has a way of suffering.
His goal in life was the cross, so
okay.
This is suffering at all.
Don't finish the sermon.
Okay. Stop now. Okay. Spoiler.
Okay, maybe we don't understand. Okay, and do you want to say something?
I think we don't like to get out of our comfort zone this life.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in the most common, simple way to put it, that why do we feel it's burdensome? Is because we're separated from God. And that, translated to one word, is sin. Because there's sin in our life, we feel separated from God. And when we feel separated from God, we feel like we're doing all the work. Right?
Yeah.
And this is what it says in Psalm 66:18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
Mm-hmm.
Now the main word here is cherished, because we're all sinners and we all sin. But there is a difference between someone who's cherishing sin and living a sinful life all the time and wanting to stay in that sin and loving that sin. He is far away from God. Even as Christians, sometimes we cherish sins. And we stay stuck to the sin. And that's what causes us to separate from God, which is sin. The sin is a wall that we're putting between us and God. And He cannot hear us. And He cannot listen to us. And I remember this very clearly in my life, because there was a time in my life where in my home country, in my church, I was very active and I had a lot of responsibilities and I was involved in a lot of stuff, in a lot of ministries, and I used to do the singing, I used to preach, I used to lead campus, so I had a lot of Christian responsibilities. But a time came when I started feeling that this is not easy. God is not with me. And I started to realize that the thing that was meant to be a joy was becoming a burden in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that was meant to give me peace and happiness was making me sad and nervous and scared. And I realized that I was living in sin, but I was in denial. And I was using all these things that we Christians usually do to hide behind my sin. Whether it was people seeing me every Sunday on the podium speaking, whether it is singing, whether it is doing responsibilities, we can easily hide behind this stuff to hide our sin. Because we lived as Christians for so long, we can pretend to be a Christian at any time we want. We can fool the people, but we cannot fool God. So we start doing things because I'm supposed to do it, because people expect me to do it, not because my heart wants to do it. And I don't want to disappoint people. And that leads us to Galatians 10, where Paul starts to say, am I not now trying to get the approval of men or God? If I'm trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And so, you can either please God or please people. And I figured that for so long in my life, I want people to see that I am a righteous person, even if I wasn't. I want people to see that I'm a good Christian, even if I had sin in my life. But it wears you down, it makes you tired, it makes you want to give up. And that is what I did, actually. I told the church I don't want any more responsibilities because I feel like a hypocrite. I feel like I'm lying to the people. I feel like I'm lying to myself. I feel like I'm hiding behind these things. So I let go of all the responsibilities. I didn't do anything for 6 months so I can get my relationship back with God, because that was what was important to me. The other thing that happens is that my performance loses focus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I say this sentence, I want you to think of the yoke. Okay? So, we can either perform too strong, too hard, or too little. Now, what does that mean? Since we're talking about the yoke of Christ, Christ gave us this example because if you know how they set this up in farming, they usually put the older oxen, which are strong and experienced, with the younger ones.
Mm-hmm.
So they can lead them and teach them and strengthen them and hold them when they get tired. So now imagine that you are this younger ox,
mm-hmm,
and Jesus is the stronger older ox, the wise one, which is leading you. Now your performance, if it's too hard, it will not work, and if it's too slow, it too soft, it will not work. Imagine this. Imagine someone big. Let's say Stefan, okay? And imagine now someone small. Let's say Till, okay? Imagine Till wants to do harder work than Stefan, and he wants to pull Stefan. Till will get tired.
Absolutely.
Yeah? He cannot pull someone who's so much stronger than him. Now imagine Stefan wants to keep going and Till doesn't want to do that hard work, and they're both connected.
Wow.
Till will be dragged. Right? This is our case with Jesus. If you're trying too hard, you're going to tire yourself and you're going to get nowhere. If you're trying to do too many things, I remember Moses when he was doing all these people were coming to him and he was dealing with all these problems, and his father-in-law told him, you take care of the important things, don't do too much, you're going to burn yourself. And so often we try to do a lot of things more than we can handle, and we burn ourselves and we feel, this is too much for me. And sometimes we do too little and get dragged by Jesus. And get, you know, if you don't do enough, you stay where you are, and your spirituality will not grow, your relationship with God will not grow. So it's really important to walk as Jesus walked. And not to think that you are doing something great, but the work has been already done. It says in Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So the work is already won, done. The war is already won. Mm-hmm. You just need to keep walking with Jesus.
Amen.
And you'll be there. The war is already won. So you keep with Jesus and eventually you will win as well. Jesus already did the hard work. He's already the strong ox that's pulling you, that's taking you in the right direction. All you need to do is keep up with Him. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to keep visiting this verse and see some specific sentences. And here we learn what kind of person Jesus is. Because in verse 29 he says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You know, Jesus knows how much we can handle. And the Bible says God will not give us more than we can handle. He knows how much you can carry, and He will give you that load. He knows what you're capable of. He knows your talents, He knows your gifts, He knows what you're capable of. And He will not give you more than you can handle. And if you're tired, He will have mercy on you, and He will know, He will be humble. And He will help you go through it. But our Jesus is also a very strong person. And He's a strong God. And this is one of my favorite verses. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Mm-hmm.
And every time I think of this verse, I remember Elisha's servant. You know, the servant who saw the armies of the enemies in front of him. And he was alone with Elisha. And he ran to Elisha and said, get up, go see the army. And Elisha told him, don't be afraid, because God is with us. The armies of angels is with us. But he still didn't see that until Elisha prayed to God to open his eyes. And then he saw an army of angels beside him. And if you see that sight, if you see an army of God right beside you, how would that make you feel? That you can't be defeated, right? That nothing can stand against you. Well, the Spirit of God lives in us. It was different back then. Back then you needed to ask God's help. Now God is living inside of you as His Spirit. So remember what we said. We were separated from God by sin. But if we are cleansed, now God is living inside of us. And what kind of amazing power that is, that we can hold off anything that we face. And I want you to always think about that. You know, we always say, yes, we have the Holy Spirit, but are you imagining the mass power of God living inside of you? Are you imagining what you're capable of doing? with that kind of power. That is the Jesus that gives us strength. That is the power of God within us. What else could we learn from this passage? He says, come to me, and not any place else. And I want us always to have this verse in mind. I know Jesus didn't say that, but God did, and we know that Jesus is God. In Jeremiah 29 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You know, we as human beings, we love to be in control of our faith. And we love to know where we're going, and we love to set up plans and build wealth for the future. But God knows better. God knows better. God knows what kind of work is best for you. God knows what kind of city is best for you. God knows what kind of spouse, your future husband, your future wife will be best for you. And if we just trust in Him, He will give us a good future. He will give us this bright hope. If we walk with Jesus within His yoke, He will give us the hope and the future that you were hoping for. And what I love about the previous verse is that, yes, He said He will give you rest, but He said rest for your souls and not physical rest. He will give you rest for your souls and not physical rest. Everything you do in life has physical pain or physical effort, and that will not go away. But what He promises to you is that if you stay with Him, you will have the peace of mind, you will have the rest for your soul. That means you will not worry about what's going to happen next, because you rely on Him, and He promised you a future and a hope. Then He says, learn from me. You know, there is, I think, nobody in this world, even non-Christians, that deny that Jesus was a great teacher. And Jesus was a righteous man. Even people who don't believe in Christianity, some people say that, yes, a man like Jesus existed and He was a great man. But we know He is holy, and we can also learn from that. In Hebrews it says, 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet He did not sin. What a great example to follow. You know, it's not like some king saying, be like me, and he has all the money in the world, and he has no troubles in his life, and yeah, just be like me, it's really easy to live. But no, we have a person who has suffered just as we have suffered in every way, but overcame. And I like to think he overcame because he trusted God in all his life. Not just because he was divine, but we know that he gave up his divinity to be a servant on earth. But we also know that every time he faced trouble, he went to God praying. Every time he was sorrowful, he stood away from the crowd, from the disciples, and wanted to get some time alone with God, to recharge himself, to be connected with God again, and not to be separated from Him. And so that's why we can learn from Jesus and really follow in His footsteps. Because He's not a hypocrite that doesn't do the work. He did all the dirty work on earth, and He taught us how to trust in God and live for Him. Be holy because I am holy. And again, it's a really strong statement, but He showed us how. It's not a statement that He's saying and He's not empathizing with us. He's showing us how to live for Him, how to have strength for Him, and be holy as I am holy. And He's showing us that He is an example of holiness and that we ought to follow Him. in the end, I want to talk about this sentence, which says, "Take my yoke upon you." Now, since we're talking about how Jesus is helping us with the yoke, let's see what the yoke could represent. In 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, it says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Reading verse 10, I don't think that we could say now that the Christian life is easy. Because there will be weakness, there will be insults, there will be hardships, there will be persecutions. I remember when I became a believer and started living my life as a Christian, I didn't tell my family, because they would persecute me, changing my faith. And so, it's not easy. Some people get disowned by their families and say, "We don't want you as a child anymore." And some people just get shunned by their work. "If you don't lie, you cannot work here." And I know that many of us have been asked to lie in our works, as was I, but eventually people will understand who you are, and they will appreciate you. I remember when I joined my work, I was dealing with customers, and I was working in Toyota, so I had to tell the customer everything is perfect. Okay, even if my garage messes things up, I have to say things are perfect. But I told them I'm not going to lie. And what happened was, every time I had a customer, they would ask someone else to come and lie instead. And so I was like, okay, if you want to lie, that's fine. But eventually what happened is, after a few months, they started knowing that I'm a person that doesn't like to do those things. And they started saying, "Ask Nareg, he doesn't lie." And that is a witness to everyone around me of how Christ has changed my life. You know, at one point, I stopped doing things that my friends did because it was immoral. But eventually, they respected me for it and they stopped teasing me. At first, they were like, "Hey, what are you, a saint? What are you, a priest? What are you, a..." So they mock you. There will be mocking. There will be insults. There will be hardships. There will be persecutions and difficulties. But if you accept those things and accept Christ's help, there will be power rested on you. And you will embrace this power, and you will have a future and a hope that Christ promised you. I'd like to end the lesson with this verse. In Hebrews 12:1-3, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." You know, it's so clear that sin is so easy to come into our life if we don't protect ourselves. But we have a cloud of witnesses, of people who can help. We have a family that cares for one another and is there if someone is weak. And let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. Just like the yoke, the path is marked for you, and Jesus is with you through that path. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, fixing our eyes on the steps that Jesus is taking to command my life, to help me with my plans. The pioneer and perfecter of faith. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And this goes back to the verse that says, "While we were sinners, he died for us." And he is already won. He has already won. And all we have to do is join him. And he has already beaten death and beaten Satan. And all we have to do is trust him. And if we do that, we will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen.